All right, always good to have a little catch up. You know him well, presiding over the 4th Senatorial. His name is Phil Boyle. Always a welcomed addition on this program. Sir, how are you? I haven't spoken to you in a while. Everything okay?
Things are going well, Jay. Thank you very much for having me on.
Always a pleasure. The session wraps up last week, and I think the main components of safety were taking place, especially on this program, between the Clean Slate Bill and the Less is More Act and the reform stuff and everything else going on. So as we ended last Thursday and some stuff kind of trickling in the, over the next day or so regarding some of the housing laws, how would you kind of wrap things up regarding the category of safety? With reform and everything else going on there, clean slate, certainly a big topic of conversation, Senator. You know, that was proposed kind of sealing records for those with misdemeanors right after 3 years and after 7 years for those with felony records. Where are we at with everything at this point in time?
Well, you know, Jay, we both know about the disastrous bail reform from the last couple of years, some really bad, quote-unquote, reforms in the area of criminal justice. Well, I would describe this past session as not over yet. I know technically we left the last week, and there were some bills on the floor, or not on the floor, but being considered, that were not passed. But that doesn't mean that it's over yet. For example, the Clean Slate Bill that you referenced, where you're right, it seals the records or expunges the records for convicted felons and those other people convicted of crimes. They did not come upon a final deal, but they were close. My belief is that they will come upon a deal at some point in time, and we need to keep the pressure on our elected officials to say, hey, you know, this cannot happen. We cannot allow someone who's abused a child to be able to apply for a job in a child daycare center and not have to make it public or to at least tell the owner that he's been convicted of these crimes. So the bill did not pass. It was supposed to in the last day or two, and suddenly it fell off the table. Something happened in the negotiations. And remember, I think negotiations are just between the Democratic Senate Majority Leader, the Democratic Speaker of the State Assembly, and the Democratic Governor. Those are all the three people in the room are those three people. So they're not looking out for law enforcement as much as we would, certainly.
Yeah. You know, I look at this thing as, I mean, listen, I guess it would have applied to anybody with a crime on their record, right? Except registered sex offenders, maybe those who have pending charges, those probation or under parole supervision, they'd be ineligible. But, you know, here's my concern as far as that is in play here. What about background checks? What about those who get background checks? You know, schools, people, entities that might deal with disabilities, maybe with people. A lot of people are mandated by local governments. Background check. Where are we at with the background checks regarding this thing?
It basically does away with them. You're right. And, you know, and to be honest, Jay, I think like all the things that the Democrats in Albany do, they go too far. They take a decent idea and they go way too far. For example, I know a lot of the advocates were having press conferences in favor of this bill, and there were some elderly individuals saying, hey, I made a mistake when I was 19. I sold some pot or something like that. And to this day, when they try and find a job, they have to disclose that. And that's the type of thing, all right, no problem. You know, nonviolent crimes like that. But again, we're getting into the felony things, serious violent crimes that will be expunged or sealed, and a future employer, a future landlord, a future neighbor will never know about until it's too late.
Yeah. Senator Phil Boyle with us. You know, Senator, also, I got a problem with this less is more deal. You know, to remove the technical parole violations. You know, maybe one's late for an appointment. Maybe you miss a curfew. Even, you know, finding alcohol, drugs, and urine samples as a reason for reincarceration. My problem with all of this stuff is it a good time to really go over this? You know, yesterday I was citing the numbers. You know, they got a mayoral race going on in the city. It is a very contentious time for leadership in and around New York City these days, with a primary happening next Tuesday. And you listen to some of these candidates, one in particular who wants to disarm cops. That's a whole nother story. But I look at this as, is it really the right time? Less is more, clean slate. Do we not know what's happening in and around our society these days? I mean, it is a terrible time to talk about this type of stuff, knowing about the crime wave and the elevation of these numbers absolutely through the roof right now. What's your take there?
I could not agree more with you, Jay. You know, you look at what's happened in the last couple of years in terms of crimes in New York City and out here and other parts of the country. Look what's happening in Washington Park, right? It's almost like Seattle at this point in time, or Portland. So I think that we need to send a message that we are going to be tough on crime and pro law enforcement. I was happy to see that among the two leading candidates for mayor in New York City, they seem to be at least not against defunding the police, you know. So I hope one of them wins. I don't expect a Republican to win the city, but at least not a crazy leftist Democrat winning in the primary and then going on to be mayor and defunding the police or worse, or taking their guns away. So we'll see the way that plays out. But the message it sends to the criminal elements out there is that we support you more than we support the victim. And that's really, I think, that's the mindset that a lot of gang members and criminals are out there now. Oh, the people, the Democrat majority in Albany, they got our back. They keep making it easier for us instead of harder and thinking about us more than the victim.
New York State Senator Phil Boyle. Senator, is it just a move to be made with Sarah Feinberg leading the MTA and Pat Foy, searching for another job? Or is it more of the faux pas under the reign of Patrick Foy that really a change is absolutely needed? I kind of go with the latter of all the mess the MTA is going through. And to me, it's not all about budget issues. It's about being a leader. Not so sure if Pat Foy checked all the boxes in my mindset. What about you there?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, it's not the way Governor Cuomo feels, evidently, because he's just moving Pat Foy over to the Economic Development Agency in Albany. So it's not like he's saying, you got to be out of here and finding somebody new. And I honestly cannot understand many of the appointments. And the way this works, Jay, for the listeners, is that the governor puts his appointments in at the last minute. We have to confirm, as state senators, we have to confirm many of the governor's appointments. And he puts the names in literally like 72 hours before we're supposed to vote on them, if that. So you have no chance to really vet these people. But the ones that I looked at, the resumes I looked at, had more to do with their political positions than it did their background and credibility to be a good person in whatever agency, not just the MTA, but the energy agency and every other thing. And on the bench, too. We got a lot of people who don't deserve to be on the bench that the governor nominated to try and push them through at the last minute.
Yeah, it seems to be, no question. Phil Boyle with us. Listen, I was outraged. If you're telling me that this governor is going to use tax money from the residents to defend himself, I got a big problem with that. Now, listen, we're looking at an impeachment investigation. We're looking at a sexual harassment investigation. We're looking at the nursing home death data investigation. And I think there was a bill that would authorize the legislature to use state funds to pay for all of this. Where are we at with this? I think it cleared both houses, if I'm not mistaken. Big problem as far as the defense and everything else. Listen, I went back to the book deal, American Crisis, $5.12 million. Half of that going to the Kids Trust Fund, other half charities, who knows. But in essence, where are we at with all of this funding and defense stuff?
Yeah, Jay, this is the way I look at it. I could be wrong, but I've been up there a long time, and I kind of read the tea leaves. I think there is no impeachment trial. I think he resigns. I think Cuomo is gone by the end of the summer. I think that once that Attorney General report comes out from Tish James about the sexual harassment, I say set your watches. He'll be gone. He'll resign within 72 hours. I hope I hope he doesn't put us through an impeachment trial, because that would be very ugly. Other people who know him well say that's not the case. He'll fight tooth and nail to the bitter end. But what's going to happen is once that report comes out, and I believe that report is going to be scathing, and I think it's going to look very, very, very bad on the governor, even worse than when everyone was telling him to resign. I think it's going to be a very bad report. And then the pressure is going to be on Carl Heastie, the Speaker of the Assembly, and he's the person who would have to call for an impeachment vote. Now, mind you, Jay, There's only been one governor ever impeached in New York State history, and that was over 100 years ago. And I do not believe that Andrew Cuomo wants to be the second one in New York State history, because that will be his legacy. I think the report comes down, he has a big press conference, says, didn't I do all these wonderful things, and I'm a victim of cancel culture, and I'm out of here. We'll see what happens. We'll see if I'm right or wrong, but we'll see.
A lot of people agree with you. Now, I say he stays in place but will not run for that fourth term. Now, listen, my biggest thing here is Hastie. Remember what he said in the beginning? He will expedite to the truth, although he's stuck in molasses, it seems. Do I have a lot of faith in Charles Levine? Absolutely not. Underline that a few hundred times. So, in essence, for the powers that be to get this train rolling, I don't have a lot of confidence in. You seem to with Carl Hastie, huh?
I don't. If you were to ask me, are we going to wait for the assembly report? And I'm a friend of Chuck. I think he's a tremendous lawyer. I think that they're slow rolling this, perhaps on purpose. But my point is, it doesn't make a difference. This is not going to be based on the assembly judiciary committee report. This is going to be based on Attorney General Tish Gaines' report. And that, I have to believe, is going to come out either in July or August. They seem to be going full steam ahead. They've interviewed many people already. So I think this could be, you know, not that it's going to happen in the next week or so, but in the next couple months. And then remember, Jay, that it's actually the left, the Democratic Socialists, that are driving the train on this impeachment. They're telling Hastie they want him impeached now. They say just there, and there's dozens of them there. They say just what's been reported in the paper, he can be impeached. You could make that argument. That's maybe true. You know, the allegations are what they are. So maybe we should have an impeachment trial. And remember, an impeachment is a trial, right? So he'll have due process. But once that Attorney General report comes out, Hastie cannot say, well, we're still interviewing. They said, no. Look at the report, because Tish James, the people, the former U.S. attorney and the attorney who handles sexual harassment cases, they're the ones that are giving him the due process, and they're doing their due diligence. So Cuomo will have no excuse like, oh, I really didn't have a chance. He's going to have plenty of a chance. And when he goes to testify in front of them, you know, the end is nigh, that report coming out. We'll get a report about when the governor finally sits down himself and has to answer their questions under oath.
James, Senator, is making a name for herself. Do you eventually see her as a candidate for the gubernatorial post in 2022 under the Democratic Party?
I do. I think it'll be Tish James against Lee Zeldin.
How about that?
I hopefully... wins big. Yeah, and I think that he'd make a tremendous governor. He's been a great congressman. I served with him in the state senate. He's thoughtful, he's smart, he's hardworking, and he has the values that all of us on Long Island feel. So I think, well, we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, but I think it's going to be Tish James versus Lee Zeldin.
The congressman is getting a lot of endorsements. Most recently, Conservative Party, Dutchess County. He's gotten a lot of good ones, and even more so, he's building up that war chest, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I know Rob Astorino, the former Westchester County Executive, is making noise. I hope that he, you know, he joins all together in unity. And I know Marcus Molinaro, who talked about running for governor, he backed out. He endorsed Lee Zeldin. So I'm hoping Rob sees the light. But either way, if it is a primary, I think Lee will win the primary overwhelmingly. So,
Senator Phil Boyle, legislature passed bills, correct, Senator, regarding... I think it's the first law in the nation to allow firearms manufacturers and sellers to be sued, right? The immunity kind of stripped for the use of guns in crimes, and that ends in immunity from lawsuits under federal law in New York. Is that correct now?
I don't know if it was signed yet. It did pass, but of course the governor would have to sign it into law. Assuming he does that, obviously there's going to be a big court case, and you know I can't see it standing. I think it's clearly unconstitutional. Otherwise, they're going to... You know, everyone's going to start suing car manufacturers when there's a fatal auto accident. So, I think that probably went along party lines. All the Republicans voted against it. Many of the Democrats, some of the Democrats voted against it too. The overwhelming majority of the Democrats did support that piece of legislation. I just don't know if it's officially law yet.
Let's shift to the island. The vaccination rates are low, beyond minuscule. The state has hit that threshold of 70%. Do we get the official word, or has it come in that everything is back up to speed, 100% capacity? Is that in place?
Well, Jay, I'd like to say yes, but it seems like with the Cuomo administration, they make an announcement on Friday and they change it on Monday. So we should, if we're not there, and obviously many places are opening up, the venues, you know, even the Foo Fighters are playing to a packed audience in the city soon. And yet the Cuomo's administration is saying, well, if school graduations have to be done in limited capacity, but we're going to have Madison Square Garden open full. So it's nonsensical. You saw, I know you reported on that when they announced on Friday that the kids would not have to wear masks, and then by Monday they did have to wear masks again. So they're all over the map, but I can tell you that they should be, and I believe they soon will be back to normal.
Early voting, mail-in stuff. Listen, we know on the national stage they've been very big issues, especially in the states of Georgia and Texas. Where are we at right now as far as New York is concerned, as far as the early voting and the mail-in balloting? A lot of people have said, be careful here. Where are we at with it in the state?
Well, the Democratic majority in the state Senate and the state assembly pushed every bill to liberalize, if you will, the voter, you know, same day voter registration, which I think would be disastrous for everyone, both parties, and mail-in balloting, expanding that. I personally believe that as Republicans, we should take the lead. We should have a press conference and say, you want to do that stuff, fine, but you need a photo ID to vote, period. How many times do we need to show a photo ID, when we go to vote, and don't say that it's a you know, anti-minority thing, because we will give free ones out. New York State, there's 19 million people. Say there's half of those, 10 million that are eligible to vote, approximately maybe 9. And the vast majority of those have driver's license, have a student ID. So we're talking about maybe a million people or so. We'll give them free photo IDs. All they do is, you know, prove who they are. And then when you go and vote, you just have to show your photo ID. That's it. And 75% of the people in New York and 80% of the people in the country agree with us on this issue. So it's vitally important that we do that, and I'd like to push that legislation through.
All righty. What about LIPA? You know, LIPA, to increase its debt load, I think it's $8 billion. That could save customers a lot of money and maybe a little. See, I'm more concerned on the financial oversight of all this stuff. As far as the borrowing. So this bill, I don't know if I'm thinking the governor is expected to sign it. Maybe he did already. But we're talking about debt under a state entity called the Utility Debt Securitization Authority. It was formed under the Reformed Act about 8 years ago. Where are we at with all of this? And what kind of situation, as mentioned, regarding oversight is involved here?
Yeah, Jay, that's one of the concerns I had with that legislation. I know a number of my colleagues did, too. It took away the oversight capability of Tom DiNapoli, our New York State Comptroller. I felt more comfortable when he had the ability to do that. It's a plus to save money to allow LIPA, in emergency particularly, to have that extra borrowing capability. But I would have liked to have seen the Comptroller continue to have that. That is... you're right. I don't know if they signed the bill. That's the way it works. We know if they passed it, but when the governor could have signed it at 11 o'clock last night, we just didn't know yet. But I would like to see the controller continue to have oversight over these large amounts of money being borrowed.
No question about it. I know we covered the real estate discrimination. I think that was kind of a no-brainer. The last thing on my list, Senator, is the vaccinations itself. I know there's a bill for a crime. It's in play to forge vaccine cards. My concern here, the bills don't match and dramatically carry the penalties involved. I know the Senate version that was sponsored by Anna Kaplan carries a max penalty. I think it's up to 4 years. Assembly. Was sponsored by an assemblyman out of the Bronx whose name escapes me. A little harsher. I think it's up to 15 years for possession of 50 more of these phony vax cards. A little unclear if we will be united as far as the penalty versions of these things. Where are we at with that?
Well, in order for the bill to become a law, as you know, Jay, they have to match exactly, right? So if they could not get an agreement on the amount of time, the amount of penalty... For having false vaccination cards, then it's not law now. There's a discussion about it. They may come to a compromise in the next couple of weeks. I fully expect to maybe go back for a brief session later in the summer or early fall, and maybe that will be part of the agenda. The other bill, of course, as you know, regarding vaccinations, highly contentious, is having a center base in Albany, which I did not think. I voted against it in the Health Committee. I do not think we should have that. That's too big brotherish. So that we're fighting, and that has not passed into law yet either.
All right, Senator, great stuff. A little recap there. Senator Phil Boyle getting it done, presiding over District Number 4. We await and see the trickle-down effect, even though session has ended. What comes into play could be interesting in the next day or so. And certainly all eyes upon these investigations of the chamber. Sir, a pleasure. Stay well, stay safe, okay?
You too, Jay. Good talking to you.
Same here. That's Phil Boyle, ladies and gentlemen.